perfectly clear. They got all the words. And Sam, thank you for that personal testimony and a testimony of your father. If you missed anything at 16th, I didn't miss anything here. So thank you again. God bless you. I was thinking about Father's Day, and I know I'm a little off subject here for a moment, but I was thinking about a flower for Father's Day. A flower. Now, if you had to pick a flower for Father's Day, you might pick something like tiger lily. That's just a joke for those of you who don't know that. Tiger lily. But then I thought, no, there's a better flower than a tiger lily for Father's Day. And it's dandelion. And I'm going to call it daddy lion because you can't kill them. You can't stomp them out. You can pick them up, cut them off, bury them, burn them. And the next thing you go to cut your grass and what's there? Dandelions. They're coming back up. Unbelievable. A little research. Actually, dandelion comes from a French word that means dent de lion. Dent de lion. You know what it means? Lion's tooth. So there you go, Dad. You got to be a lion's tooth for your wife and for your children. The Bible tells us that fathers are to be prophet, priest, and king in their home. They are responsible. God has put you in charge. You might think, well, I don't have that good of a wife and I have rebellious children. And God says, no, they're in your charge. They're in your family, and I put you in charge. And somehow, if I have troubles, I'll tell you what it is. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't loved enough. I haven't obeyed enough. I haven't set the example enough, because God says, if you do, I'll bless your family and I'll encourage your family. Now, just remember something. God is a God of grace and mercy. I mean, who's done it right? Nobody. But think about this. He is with you, and he wants you to represent Jesus Christ to your wives and to your children. And so, fathers, it is a true statement. The buck stops with you, Daddy. So let's take the privilege and let's take the responsibility serious and honor the Lord. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, and we want to bring to a conclusion, Lord willing, this little mini-series on the temptations of Christ. Matthew chapter 4, you watch your Bibles and let me read for you. Actually, I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 3 as an introduction. The last verse of chapter 3 of Matthew. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Okay, we have talked about the temptations in general. We have suggested they take place in three different geographical locations. They take place in the wilderness. They take place in the pinnacle of the temple. And today's lesson, they're going to take place on an exceeding high mountain. We also suggest that the temptations are in three different arenas: the physical arena, the spiritual arena, and the arena of authority. Who's in charge? Who has the power? The first temptation was to move out of the will of God. Turn stones into bread. You're hungry, aren't you? Thought God was pleased with you. What are you doing here in this wilderness all by yourself, hungry? Why don't you just act independently and supply your own need? We suggested that God sometimes puts us in a situation where we have to trust him. And the Lord Jesus said, I am hungry, but it is the Father's will for me to be hungry right now. So I will not act independently, and I will wait on the Father. And so the Lord Jesus won the day by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then there was also the temptation to prove that he was in the will of God. You say you're the Son of God? Now the devil takes the Bible, puts it under his arm. Out of the mouth of the enemy comes the written word of God. And he begins to quote from Psalm 91. And he says, just jump off, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The temptation, prove who you are. Prove that God really loves you. The temptation, of course, was to tempt the Lord and to do something sensational. He didn't tell him to jump off of anything in the wilderness, nobody there to see it. He tells him now in the hustle and bustle of the pinnacle of the temple, the highest point in the temple yard, now to do something to get attention, to show who he is, prove who he is. The Lord Jesus says, it is written again. Oh, you've quoted scripture, but you've taken it out of its context. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And now we're going to a mountain, an exceeding high mountain. And in this third temptation, we're going to once and forever settle the question, does the end justify the means? In other words, does it matter how you cross the finish line? Does it matter how you run the race? Does it matter how I do the work of God, as long as I do the work of God? And Jesus is forever going to settle that question in this temptation. Worship is an interesting word, and it's also an interesting part of the, quote, evangelical community. I was on a plane some time ago reading my Bible, my New Testament. The fellow, I was in a middle seat of all things. I hate it when I get in middle seats. But the fellow to the right of me said, I'm a worship leader. I said, that's nice, good. And he pulls out a magazine, a big, you know, 8.5 by 11 magazine. On the front of the magazine was a advertisement for their church and choir and programs. He said, this is my church, and I'm the worship leader. I said, oh, that's good, that's good. He said, I've got something I want to talk to you about. And about that time, the flight attendant came and said, Mr. Reese, we have a seat for you in first class. I said, you do? She said, yes, you've been bumped to first class. I said, thank you very much. I get up to leave. And this fellow says, he says, you're not leaving, are you? I said, well, of course I'm leaving. I'm going to first class. He said, I wanted to talk to you. I said, well, I'll talk to you in Atlanta, Georgia. I'll wait on you when I get off the plane. So I waited on him, and he came. When he came to me, he said, really what I wanted to do is ask you to pray for me. He said, I'm in trouble. I said, yes, I know you're in trouble, and I know why you're in trouble. I said, it's written all over your face. He said, how would you know that? I said, I don't know, but I said, you have a problem in a moral area. I said, you have a problem with pornography. And his eyes got big, and he said, I don't know how you know that, but he said, I've been disciplined twice in my church for that, and now I've lost my family and my church, and I have nothing left. And I said, well, let's pray together, and we prayed for him. I am amazed at how many people who say that they are worshiping God. And God only knows if they are or not. God only knows if I'm worshiping him or not. But let me tell you something. You can't worship God with hidden sins in your life. You can't do that. That's not right. God doesn't, listen, God never accepted any kind of a sacrifice in the Old Testament, nor will he ever accept any kind of a praise, thanksgiving, worship, adoration in the New Testament. It's got to be holy. It's always got to be holy. Now, I'm not holy, but Christ makes me holy. And only when I'm submissive to the Holy Spirit, obedient to the Word of God, and walking with the Son of God, then and only then would I ever dare lift holy hands, nothing between my soul and the Savior. This third temptation is dealing with worship. The devil is all out war. This temptation deals with the very program of God. The Lord Jesus has been in 30 years of preparation for this day. He's just gone through 40 days in the wilderness. He's just been baptized. Public declaration. This is my son. He's headed to the cross. There's only one way for man's sins to ever be forgiven. And it is against that plan, the very plan of God for you in his love, to give you a way of escape from the sin nature and the penalty of sin in your life. It is against God's plan this last temptation is leveled. What is it? We read it. Simple. Fall down, worship me. Fall down. Well, that's the posture of worship. Down, low, humility. Fall down, worship me. Let's notice the approach. How does he do it? He takes him from the pinnacle of the temple, and he takes him to an exceeding high mountain. And then when he gets him to the high mountain, he shows him lust of the eyes. He shows him all of the kingdoms of the world. Now, Mark adds something to his account. You remember that we're 4:1-4, Matthew 4, Mark 1, Luke 4 covers this, the temptations. Mark's account says this. He says, in a moment of time. Sorry, that's in Luke's account. Sorry, Luke. In a moment of time. You say, well, why? The devil didn't want him to look too long. Ah. You see, here's the problem. The kingdom is what the Lord Jesus is going to set up, singular. The devil shows him all the kingdoms. He adds the S, plural. As soon as you add the S to the word kingdom, you know what you got? Wars, fights, problems, contentions. And the devil doesn't want him to look too long. So in a moment of time, he shows him the kingdoms of the world. Now, Jesus, he got better vision, of course, than the devil. The Lord Jesus didn't just see the wealth, the fame, the position, the power that the devil wanted him to see. Look, you can have all this. Look at the glitter. Look at the power. Look at the authority. Palestine, Rome, Greece, Egypt, Syria, and 1,000 unknown nations. But Jesus sees them all. He sees them all from the very beginning to the very end. And then he remembers, no doubt, in Psalm 2, where the Father says, I'll give them to you. I'll give you all the nations as your inheritance, all these kingdoms. So his approach was, take him on a high mountain and show him all of the kingdoms. Now, what the devil was saying is this. Take my gift. See this? I'd like to give you this, all these kingdoms. Take my gift rather than God's gift. Now, let me inject something here for a moment. The devil's not in charge of anything. Don't ever forget that. He's not some renegade power out here moving on his own. He couldn't touch Job without God's permission. The demons in the gospel beg for mercy and ask permission to go into the swine, the hogs. Listen, the devil is not in charge of anything. He does not own anything. He is called the God of this world because that is his desire. He wants to take over the world. He wants to exalt himself above the very throne of God. He wants to destroy the work of God. He wants to dominate the world. That's his goal. He has deceived many. He's a deceiver and a liar, but he's not in charge of anything. The devil's still working like that today. You remember in the garden, he deceived Eve. She looked at the tree, and she saw that the tree was good for food. Lust of the eyes. Good for food, pride of life, make you wise. He's using the same tactics today. In John's epistle, we're told that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all that's the work of the devil and the world. And he's trying that very thing on the Lord Jesus. Lust of the flesh, here you go, bread, you need bread, you're hungry. Pride of life, jump off, show who you are, okay? Do something sensational, okay? And then lust of the eyes, look, see that? All the kingdoms, I will give you those kingdoms. So he offers his kingdom ruled by him, the devil, to all who will worship him. God offers his kingdom to all who will worship him and obey him. But it's got to be God's work, God's way. You can't do God's work the devil's way. We're going to see that. So Satan is saying to the Lord Jesus, here's the temptation. Didn't you come to win the world? Didn't you come to set up your kingdom? Didn't you come to win all the people? Aren't you supposed to be the savior of the world? Well, I'll give you everything you came for. You won't have to suffer rejection. you won't have to be rejected by your own or your own people, Israel. You won't have to go to the cross. You won't have to be, listen, forsaken by your God. You won't have to be this sacrifice for sin. You won't have to shed your blood. You won't have to give up your life. You won't have to die. All I want you to do, it's a great deal. You should do it right now. Simply fall down and worship me. I'll give you everything. Well, it's going to be God's work, God's way. It's not going to be the devil's way. And so the Lord responds. Now, we've already learned this. He always responds with the word of God. Sword of the Spirit. Don't ever forget that. Don't, Christian, don't ever be unarmed. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians. And if you ask them, name the first four books of the New Testament, they might or they might not. If you say, name the last four, they're done. Why? They don't read their Bibles. They're not students of the Word. They're not preparing their hearts. They don't realize that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and when they get tempted, they'll get beat. They'll be deceived. They won't be able to do battle with the enemy. They'll be discouraged. Their lives are a roller coaster ride. They're up, they're down. They don't know where they're going. They have the Word of God's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It shows you where you are and where you're going. Hide the word of God in your heart. So the Lord's response, I find it almost comical. Notice it in verse 10. Jesus said to him, you're done. I've had enough of this. Remember, Jesus is the Almighty God in flesh. He's over all. So he says to the devil, out of here. Just get out of here. Get the hint. Get out. A command. Enough is enough. Now, think about this. Eve, when she was tempted, she began to talk to the devil. She began to discourse with him. Jesus said, it's written. He didn't argue with him. He gets tempted, it's written. He gets tempted, it's written. He gets tempted, that's enough. It's written. You know, Eve contemplated the temptation. Jesus said, I'm done. He wouldn't consider it for one moment. Eve gave in, and Jesus quotes the word of God and dismisses Satan to be gone. The devil says, worship me and I'll give you the kingdom, all the kingdom. Jesus said, I will obtain all of these kingdoms by victing you, by conquering you, by bruising your head, by destroying the works of the devil, not by worshiping. And now the flash of the sword is in the hand of the Lord Jesus. And he says, it is written. Now watch it. He's going to quote now from Deuteronomy 6 and 13. Listen closely to this. This is the key to understanding why the word of God is so powerful. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt you serve. Did you get that? The devil says, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you everything. The Lord Jesus says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and then him only shall you serve. Did you ever connect service with worship? Jesus does. You see, service is a follow-up on worship. You don't just worship, 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 and then go home and do nothing. You serve the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, in the book of Joshua, last chapter, you might remember, it's quite a classic verse. Joshua brings the nation of Israel together and says to them, God's done everything. He's won the day. He's run your enemies off. He's given you houses you didn't build and farms you didn't plant and vineyards you eat from and all of this. And it's just an unbelievable catalog of God winning the day. And then what happened is that he said, choose you today whom you will serve. In 14 verses, the word 15 verses, the word serve is mentioned 14 times in 15 verses. Serve. Starts off with worship. Serve. Why? To be subject to a conqueror. If you're going to worship someone, you're going to humble yourself, you're going to be submissive to that person, and you're going to serve that person. That's the reason the devil said, just fall down and worship me. The devil's not stupid. Jesus said, whoever you worship, you serve. And I'm definitely not going to worship you. And I'm definitely not going to serve you. Because if I would, I'd never be in charge of the kingdoms anyhow. Well, the devil said, look, you can shortcut. You don't have to do that. You don't have to suffer. I'll give you everything. Jesus said, no, I won't do that. He said, I will not worship you and I will not serve you. In order to have authority, you must be under authority. That's a principle in Scripture. And because Jesus Christ is under the authority of God the Father, he's over everything else. And so he sets the example for you and I to serve. So I say with Joshua, and I ask you the question, choose today whom you will serve. Who are you serving? Whoever you're serving, it's yourself, the world, your hobbies, your job, your family, your health, Wall Street, your investments. What? God? You can't serve two masters. Only one. You will love one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. Who are you serving? So when Jesus refuses the offer, remember something, he refuses the imperfect thing. All of the kingdoms will pass away. The 1 John 2:17, the world passes away and the lust of them. It's going for everything. Everything you see on planet Earth is going to the dump. 2 Peter 3:10 says it's going to all melt with a fervent heat. Everything in the earth, everything on the earth. God's going to build a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Everything down here is going to the dump. Don't sell your soul for everything that's going to the dump. Things to consider. Jesus refuses the imperfect thing. He will not bow down. He will not worship. And he certainly will not serve the enemy. So in conclusion, let's make a few observations. He starts in the wilderness, the physical. Goes to the temple, the spiritual. Goes to the mountain, authority. Notice the attack. Bread, physical, needs, spiritual, trust me, prove who you are, and then worship. It's interesting that the Lord always starts with worship, trusting, and then meet the need. Here's the way he does that. Look, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get first things first. You want stuff? You enjoy stuff? God wants you to have an abundant life. Doesn't want you to live for that. Doesn't want you to have that life. But listen, God meets your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Guess what? He'll add all this stuff. Everything you need. You don't even know what you need. You know what you want, but you don't know what you need. He will add that to you. Here's another observation. The power of the word of God when used properly. You see, there was a one-word defense. In the wilderness, it's written. On the pinnacle of the temple, it's written. on a high mountain, it's written. Something is very interesting. The devil never said to him, it's almost humorous. The devil never said, you got another verse? One verse in its context, used properly, rightly, wins the day. The devil cannot deny the word of God. Get the word of God in your heart. Familiarity with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Remember in Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God. Here's another observation. Satan's evaluation of the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean? Think about it. Devil takes him on a high mountain. What he says? I'll give it all up for one moment. Just fall down and worship me. You see, the devil's biggest goal is to have Christ worship him. He wants to be worshiped as God. What value did he put on Christ? He said, now he doesn't own anything. I remind you, he doesn't own it. He said, I'll give everything I have if you will do this. What value do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? How valuable is he to you? One more. The Spirit's influence. We don't have time. We're done now. But listen. In the three gospel accounts, we read this. He's full of the Spirit. He is led by the Spirit. And he returns from the temptation in the power of the Spirit. Now look, this is a no-brainer. If Jesus is setting the example, fight the good fight with the sword of the Spirit, okay? Taking the word of God out of your heart, dealing with the enemy, spoken word of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, full of the Spirit, returns in the power of the Spirit. Dear friends, what hope do you think we have? There's some of you that are not even sure about your salvation. You think, Justin, you are easy picking for the bird of the dark. He'll come and take the seed right off of that hard-packed heart that you have. Open your heart to Christ. You don't have a prayer without him. You can't fight the enemy. You have no resources to do that. But Jesus sets that example. And then lastly, angels came. Angels. Wow. Can you see it? 40 days in the wilderness, duking it out with the enemy, winning the day, proving who he is, the most qualified person in eternity to go to the cross for you. No sin, in him no sin, knew no sin, did no sin. The only one that could ever take the sinner's place. And he just proved it. And he just won the day. And he said, Satan, get out of here. I'm done with you. And he's exhausted. And guess what? The Father says to some selected angels, get down there and comfort my son. Wow. Angels came and ministered to him. I am sure they brought him food and water and comfort. If angels have wings, I can just see them putting a wing over the shoulder of the Lord Jesus and say, Master, you won the day. You did so good. The Father is so pleased. Angels came and ministered to him. Oh, God bless you. What a Savior. What a temptation. What a victory is won. And dear friends, by the grace of God, you will be tempted. And it's not a sin. Not a sin to be tempted. You'll be tempted over and over and over again. by the grace of God, enter into salvation through Jesus Christ alone. No other way. We offer no other hope, only through Christ. And if you're in the fold, you know the Lord, you're running the race, you're in the battle, you're in the temptation, get the word of God in your heart, get it in, put it in, memorize it, read it, reread it, get it any way you can get it in. Get it into your head, get it into your heart, so that it might help you in the day of temptation to win the day as we follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus himself. Who has the authority? None other than the Lord himself. All authority, he said, has been given unto me. So you need to be on the winning side. Not the team, not anything can happen at the half. You need to be on the team that won. And the Lord Jesus won the day, and he won the battle, and he's in heaven fighting for you, praying for you, interceding for you. And God bless you all. I trust that this little series has been tremendously encouraging for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that he is, no matter how we turn him, no matter how we look at him, no matter how we read about him, no matter how we see him in action, he is always the most beautiful person in the universe, the sinless, harmless Son of God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and I pray that everyone that has listened to this little series might be built up in their faith if they know the Lord, and they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ if they do not. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.